This is Signal 337, the podcast for the innately curious and creative. Hey friends, this is Tim McKenna, and you're listening to another episode of Signal 337. So we are rounding out November. We are only a day or so away from the beginning of December, for the last month of the year, and we can put 2021 to bed in 30-some-odd days. So the last couple of days have been particularly crazy, as if you are based in the United States, you'll know that we just got done with Thanksgiving. You are probably all looking at your wallets and wondering what the hell you bought on Black Friday. You probably spent the weekend maybe going through leftovers from Thanksgiving, maybe shooing out some overwelcome family that stayed at your house for too long, cleaning up a little bit after a very large meal, and you might also still be doing shopping, and with Cyber Monday being a thing as well, you're probably still looking at your wallet and being, dear God, what have I all bought? I did some of those things. Not many. I pretty much went to Thanksgiving with my family and my wife's parents up in Lehigh Valley. Had a really good time, had a lot of good food, and we hung out for a bit. It was nice. Kids enjoyed themselves. My wife got to hang out with her sister, with her sister's boyfriend, and I got to sit around and just bullshit about work. And her parents just was pretty cool hanging out with the kiddos. We got back. We were starting to decorate for Christmas, which, funny enough, if you know me like pretty well, and I'm going to spill the beans on all this, you're probably thinking, wait, Tim, why the hell would you decorate for Christmas? You're an atheist? Yes, however, that doesn't mean I can't get behind some of the thoughts around Christmas. There's that. Plus, my kids are super young, and it's a fun tradition in this regard, as long as we keep it more around the spirit of things and not the commercialization of things. And frankly, we can have nice things. It's okay here. But I basically spent the weekend decorating and whatnot, and I will say this, if you decorate for Christmas before Thanksgiving, you're a fucking monster. You need to stop, and you need to keep that shit after Thanksgiving, and you need to take that shit down right after New Year's. Rant ended. But with all of that, Black Friday was a big thing this year. Black Friday is corporate America or capitalist wet dream in this regard of let's go out and just buy a ton of products. Let's buy gifts for Sally, gifts for Joe, gifts for gifts for everyone. Buy gifts for everyone in your office if you still are going to an office, or buy gift cards to send to people because you don't know them well enough and you don't know how to get them something that they would really appreciate. So let's get them something that's basically money through a narrow window. So with all of that, there was a lot of people out Black Friday shopping, and a lot of gifts being bought. I haven't started doing that yet, by the way. But you might be wondering, what kind of gifts should you get people? What kind of gifts should you get certain family? You probably bought some people gifts in the past, and they probably never wore that tie that you bought them, or that pair of socks, or they never used that gadget you gave them. And they're like, oh, I'm really into this, and like about a month later, they have no interest. Gift giving and gift buying is a weird dance. And sometimes you need help. And sometimes you might buy gifts for people that you're like, is this really good? Is this any good? I heard it was good. Someone said it was good. Maybe they'll like it. Maybe they'll like it and think this is great, and it'll be part of their little toolbox from now on. Or sometimes you buy those gifts and they're like, fucking stupid. What do you do? Segue into my other part of this conversation. And there is a design thread to actually all of this, so just bear with me here. So what do you do with gift giving? Enter YouTube. YouTube is arguably a great platform. I think it's a great platform. I think it has a lot of potential for a lot of areas around education and learning and just making community and whatnot. Sure, there are assholes on YouTube as well, just like any other platform. But there's some really great people, some really great channels that I follow pretty frequently. I follow religiously a little bit here. And some of them are just everyday folks that have got a passion that have really done well with creating a channel with engaging content. They're really down to earth, and they know their context and content really well to speak to it. And I feel like I'm always learning new things. Just so we are talking about the same stuff here, like here's some of the channels I really enjoy. So Answers with Joe Scott. Joe is a cool dude. I believe he's in Texas. And he talks on topics around science, technology, culture, sometimes culture. He's got sometimes like a weird like bent on like missing persons and whatnot. Not often, just very infrequently. But if you really like science and technology, he's a really great channel to watch. Answers with Joe. His name is Joe Scott. And he's got a little bit of a comedic bent to it. He's got a really cool delivery to it. And it's really engaging and consumable information. So even if you don't know anything about electric vehicles, you know what? You'll find that episode on electric vehicles or many of his other episodes on EVs really engaging and really informative. So he makes it very palatable for anyone to understand. Like, you don't have to be a science nerd. It helps. But you don't have to be a science nerd to get everything. He really delivers it in a way for everyone to get it. So Answer the Joe Scott, he's one of my favorites. Very much in the same vein is Undecided with Matt Farrell. Matt Farrell also talks about technology and science, and he talks a lot about battery technology as well, which is, you know, super interesting, a lot about renewable energy as well. And very much in the same vein as Answers with Joe, sometimes their topics do overlap, and I think I've seen a collaboration with both of them. But I think Matt is up north, either in Massachusetts or New Hampshire. He's somewhere up north where it snows. And he's talked about his solar panel array, and which is really interesting because as someone who actually utilizes some of these like at-home technologies, like a power wall and different solar array, he can actually talk to like its efficacy at where he lives at. And another cool thing I actually learned about Matt is that he's also a designer. So we have a work similarity. We have a work thing there that we can talk about. Haven't actually talked to him. I've always just tweeted at him. But those two channels are cool. So that gets my science, that gets my technology nerddom out in there. And the way they deliver their content is super interesting, super engaging. And then there's a number of other channels. I could really rattle all day on YouTube in different channels. I really like Legal Eagle and Audit the Audit. You've got your law focus there. I really enjoy cooking shows. Adam Ragusea, Binging with Babish was the one that really got me through all of 2020 when we were really locked down. I watched a shit ton of his episodes of just different foods from movies and TV and video games. And it was funny because I watched his episode of Sweet Rolls from Skyrim that got me hooked into Greg Titian's How to Drink show. How to Drink is really interesting because it is around cocktails. And as Greg has mentioned, he's never been a bartender. He's not a professional bartender. He's never worked in a bar. He's just an avid at-home bartender, and he goes through different craft cocktails. He goes through the history of various cocktails, where certain things, and you know, the culture of where cocktails and different drinks, how they evolve, different spirits. And his channel is also super engaging and really fun. There is a whole comedic like thread to every one of these channels, except for maybe Audit the Audit, unless you're laughing at dumb cops who got shit wrong. But it's not intentionally comedic in that regard, but there's a whole comedic thread to everything. Now, you're probably wondering, Tim, you're rambling. Where are we going with all this? Just recently, Greg released an episode on his How to Drink channel called The Anti-Gift Guide. Now we're making connections here. So he basically got a whole bunch of different bar products, from shakers to stirrers to glassware, different juicers. He got a whole bunch of these and was basically doing a review of these different products. And basically, he was trying to say, save your money. Don't buy bunk shit. Don't buy stuff that's not going to be helpful. And he didn't come into it with a negative bias. Like, he didn't come into it thinking these were all going to be terrible. He did try to give the good college try. He went through each of the different products and compared it to, you know, a professional bartender's tool. And he found some weren't horrible and others were just complete junk. And for those who were looking to buy gifts for the bar aficionados and their circle of friends or their family, his video of the anti-gift guide was the basically the template. Don't buy this kind of crap for those friends. But here's the thing that was really interesting about him. As a designer, looking at the usability of various products and how things were created and how they were intended to be used, this was a very fascinating video because he went through the use of a particular, it was juicers, talking about the different construction, the different materials that are made, how the grip should work, how it should be able to have a shallow enough or a deep enough cup to be able to capture that juice. And it was incredibly interesting to hear this because basically he was giving us a usability like study and how usable were these products. And as he was going through it and he was giving context like why this isn't good, because you can't get a fair amount of juice out of a half of an orange or half of a lime or half of a lemon. You can't get it from this because of these different reasons. It was incredibly fascinating because it felt like I was watching a usability study, like I'm watching a usability test. And it actually sparked a similar video that I watched on YouTube in particular from a designer who actually did the same thing. He would review kitchen gadgets. And that designer is Dan Formosa. Dan Formosa is a designer who has had decades of experience in usability and research and design, and has a particular focus on industrial design and has a focus on kitchen gadgets. And you can see some of his reviews of various kitchen gadgets on the Epicurious YouTube channel. Epicurious is a pretty cool channel. They do a lot of three levels of different foods, from a beginner to a novice to like a pro chef. They're more like food science, and they got some really cool articles and videos on their YouTube channel. And Dan Formosa has got a really cool series where he basically reviews supposedly innovative, often quirky, and just oddly thought out kitchen products. Things that you think might be helpful, but aren't really helpful, and they aren't really useful. I've watched a number of Dan's videos, and got to learn more about who Dan is. And I don't have a super prodigious bio, but if you go to danformosa.com, you can learn all about his background in his early days in the 70s, where he was working with IBM to think about the home computer setup. And he's done a lot of different side projects with Think Act Human, one of the things that he started, as well as the B4 Collective, focusing on design and gender. He's a pretty prodigious author. He's definitely been on Fast Company a number of times, and he also is an instructor at School of Visual Arts. He's in the branding school of things, so he's really a luminary in the design world, and his videos of his usability of these different kitchen gadgets really sparked a correlation with what Greg was doing with How to Drink and how he was doing the different bar gadgets. So it was really interesting to see how my love of YouTube even pours into, I'm seeing design things here. I'm seeing things that we can make better products, make better services of stuff. And inadvertently, some of the videos that I watch kind of touch on these things. What I really am trying to get full circle around here is that through these two individuals, through How to Drink's channel and through the Epicurious series with Dan Formosa, it all talks about the usability of the items that we utilize every day, the design of everyday things, really, to borrow a phrase there, to borrow a title. But it's interesting how we think about different products, different services, different tools that we use, and how we get accustomed to them, or how we can't get accustomed to them, and having an expert in their own field review these different tools and be able to really provide a subject matter expert opinion, how useful they are, is incredibly important. Because what you're finding with some of these companies that are creating these products, they aren't doing enough user research. They aren't doing enough studies with real people. Maybe some of them are. Maybe some of them aren't. Maybe some of them are saying they're doing it. Majority are probably not. With Dan, he had worked with the OXO company, and he was working on how they make really accessible kitchen products so that those with weaker grips, can be able to utilize various products, and how they can hold different products. And then that level of research and understanding as who is using your product, which makes a good product, really sets the definition of what is a useful, usable, and used product. It sets the user's expectation of what that experience should look like. And there are so many bad products out there that when someone is actually interacting with a good product, they're not sure how to actually utilize it. They're maybe a little conditioned to utilize product in a way that they're very most familiar with, but they're not sure of how the technique or how to use things. And I find this all incredibly interesting because you see this a lot with kitchen knife reviews. A lot of kitchen knives that are designed with certain blade styles and certain handle styles and what they're meant to be used for. And then you have the aspiring home chef who are going to shell out over $100 for one blade. Do they know how to use it correctly? Do they know what it's actually supposed to be used for? I've seen many times videos where various cooks will take a very long-bladed, single-bladed knife, no serration, and they will cut very fine vegetables down, and then they will scrape their cutting board blade down, effectively dragging that sharp blade across an uneven surface. Even if it is just a plastic cutting board, like you're inadvertently scraping and destroying that edge of that blade. And you could just flip it over real quick, use the fat end of that blade, the back, and then be able to scrape that way. So it's interesting how we think we know how to use various products each day and how they can be utilized better, how they can be actually making your life easier if we actually are crafting them in a way that is the most useful, that is the most usable, and is correctly made for the type of work that they need to be done with. This idea of multi-tools and multi-purpose tools is an interesting one because you can create certain tools in the kitchen and certain other tools to be utilized in a multitude of different ways, in a multitude of different avenues. They can be effective in a couple of different ways. And this is another example of kitchen knives in this regard. A really good multiple-purpose kitchen knife will be able to slice and be able to maybe, you know, mandolin some things and be able to get cut real fine and whatnot. And it may be made with certain materials such as stainless steel or high carbon steel. It may be made with a way so that it can be thrown in the dishwasher or just maybe gently rinsed off. But it can be utilized in a multitude of ways. And that's where you see some of these multiple purpose tools in the kitchen that try to be a little bit of everything, but sometimes miss the mark. And then you might have specialized tools like a multi-purpose knife or a multi-purpose cutting board. I think the cutting boards are really interesting because I've seen cutting boards that have drainage ditches built into them to collect various juices. Say if you're breaking down meat, for instance, to be able to collect some of the blood and other liquids that come out of that. And it can create an issue, though, because, oh, it makes it easier for cleanup, but those drainage channels built into the board could cause a grip issue or something to slide. And, you know, what you think you're cutting off part of a turkey's wing portion, you're cutting off part of your finger. So it's really interesting to see both of these channels. With Dan Formosa doing the kitchen gadget side and this most recent one with Greg on how to drink, looking at different bar equipment, and just being able to give us an understanding of like how these things are utilized and walking us through how their intended use is and then seeing how an actual use of these tools with professional grade, tried, true, tested materials and configurations are. So we started off with holidays, the Black Friday, and the shopping, and YouTube, and usability studies and design. There's a daisy chain of thought here. I thought coming into this would be very much a rambling of just different ideas, but it's interesting how you go down a certain rabbit hole with certain topics. You ever gone on Wikipedia and just realized you spent an hour on Wikipedia and now you started off what was supposed to be an article about cats, reading about cats, and now you're learning about the intricacies of 1970s glam rock? I've been there many times. So it's interesting how various topics can lead you to various other topics, and I would have never thought that by watching an episode of a YouTube channel that I really enjoy would spark a correlation to another YouTube channel that I really enjoy that have a similarity about usability of different physical products and how that would tie back to the work that I do as a designer that's ensuring that the experiences and the products and the services that I'm building are useful, are usable, and are used. With all of that, what should you take away from this episode? One, I would highly suggest, if you are a designer, definitely look up both How to Drink and Epicurious. Specifically for the episodes I mentioned, look up How to Drink Anti-Gift Guide. Very interesting video where Greg will go through all of the different products and basically rate them on like how usable they are and how they could be a complement to your own bar equipment. Not necessarily needing that you need to be someone who likes to drink at all. Just is very interesting to see this from a usability perspective. Also, check out Epicurious. Look up Dan Formosa and his work on Epicurious. And I think his show is called Well Equipped. I think that's the name of the show. Look that up and you'll be able to watch him go through the usability process where he'll take a kitchen product, use it the way that it's intended or way that it's described, and then he would walk through how he would probably improve upon the design and kind of rate just like how usable this kitchen gadget is and how it could be something that you want in your kitchen versus you don't need it to. So I would definitely check both of those out. I think as designers, you would find both of these episodes, or at least How to Drink's episode and with the Well Equipped series, I think you'd find them fascinating. Also, with that, check out the rest of the YouTube channels I mentioned. If you are at all interested in like history, or if you go down that same rabbit hole that I do on Wikipedia, where you're learning about a topic and then you're like an hour later, you've jumped from like one Wikipedia page to like 20 of them, I find that Answers with Joe, Undecided with Matt Farrell, and How to Drink are really interesting ones. Oh, and if you're really into cooking and TV and movies, Binging with Babish is always a fun one as well. I would say that all of them have gotten me through the pandemic in the first year and the second year, and I hope to God not a third year. So with all of that, I want to say thank you to everyone who's kept with this show for a very long time. We're getting close to 80-ish episodes yet, so we've got a few more. And as I said in a previous episode, that once we get to 100, episode 100 will be an Ask Me Anything. I will be taking questions from everyone who listens to the show. You can submit questions on LinkedIn and on Twitter. And you can also email the show. How do you find us? Look up Signal 337 on LinkedIn. We got a business page where we always post every episode there every time we launch one. On Twitter, we are at Signal 337, where we post the episodes as well and sometimes jump into various other commentary and whatnot. And you can also email the podcast at signal337podcast@gmail.com. That way you can get it right to me. So again, I want to say thank you. I really appreciate everyone who listens to the show. Everything is from my perspective, my observations, and they're not indicative of any past or present companies that I work for. They're all just my observations from my little corner of South Central Pennsylvania. And with that, I want to say thank you and take care.